It's a new year, and it's time to make new pop culture resolutions.
It's also time to see how we did sticking to the ones we made a year ago. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. It's resolutions time once again on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining us today from his home studio is Glenn Weldon of NPR's Culture Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And also here from her home on the West Coast, of course, is Aisha Harris. Hey, Aisha.
Hello, Linda.
So if you've been listening to our year-end shows for a while, you know that we like to come back and make some resolutions, and that at the end of the year, we hold ourselves accountable by looking at our old resolutions. Sometimes this is a wonderful experience. Sometimes it is deeply and truly painful. But we don't just rely on our memories. We actually listen back to ourselves making resolutions. So I want to hear Glenn's resolutions for the year 2021.
All right. I'm going to start and finish a podcasting project that has nothing to do with NPR. I'm going to do it with pal and friend of the show, Chris Klimek. It will be a deep dive into the 1960s British science fiction series, The Prisoner, which ran for one season of 17 episodes. So, you know, it's niche. But it's also, I think this is the appeal for me anyway, it's self-contained. We'll do maybe 20 episodes at most, and then it'll be done. We're going to call it Degree Absolute, which makes sense if you've seen the series. And again, we're still planning this, but I'm doing that Babe Ruth thing where I'm pointing at the stands, the peck wall, calling my shot. Is that what it is? Calling my shot. I'm going to say it's going to happen this year. It's very weird and stylish and deeply allegorical. So there'll be lots to talk about. And it's also kind of goofy. So it'll be fun to talk about. So that's what I'm going to do. Well, I mean, in terms of execution, done and done. That's an A-plus part of it, anyway.
That is an A-plus part of it.
Because A Degree Absolute is out there in the world. It's a thing that's a lot of fun to make. I have to say all the heavy lifting, all the editing falls to Chris. But, you know, and we have developed a very small but very smart and very funny listenership. So A on execution, but that wasn't all I said. I said we're going to start and finish. And it's the finish thing that kind of falls down because there has been some mission creep. After we knocked out the 17, 20 episodes, we started looking at, you know, the spinoff comic and then movies in which the lead actor from that series, Patrick McGowan, shows up as either the main villain, as he does in Braveheart, which I had to watch for the first time, or he's more of a day player like Mary Queen of Scots. So there's been definite mission creep, but it has been fun to do. So B-minus.
B-minus?
Oh, no way.
That's an solid A. That's like Linda saying that her New Year's resolution is to write a book and then come back like, I'm sorry, guys, I wrote two.
Yeah.
Or like, I wrote a book and also some essays. That is not doing it. You did it, man.
And I don't think your failure to stop making this project, I say this as a thoroughly biased person who was lucky enough to get to come on this podcast and talk about a couple of episodes of Columbo.
There you go, right there. Creep, mission creep.
In which Patrick McGowan, the lead of The Prisoner, was in these episodes of Columbo. So I got to talk about those and it was super fun. And without mission creep, I wouldn't have gotten to do that.
Yeah.
Aisha, I go to you for a ruling. What do you think?
Well, I love that we can gas Glenn up because I think that he should be proud of himself and give himself an A minus A.
Yeah, I will take that A minus, yes.
Aisha understands how to handle Glenn. He needs that minus. It means a lot to him.
Look, I am in the same boat. I completely empathize. So just let him have a little bit of self-flagellation there.
Fair enough. All right, Glenn, what is your resolution for 2022?
Well, it's going to keep on creeping because it's going to sound like a cheat, but it's to continue the podcast. It's not a cheat, though, because if there is one lesson to take away from a book that I wrote this year called NPR's Podcast Startup Guide, makes a great gift, perfect for under the tree, it's that launching a podcast is one thing. Keeping it going requires an entirely different set of skills. It requires you to adjust your fuel mixture of your three limited resources of time, money, and commitment. Anyone can launch a podcast. The challenge is keeping it going. Most people don't. To be fair, we've still got some McGowan-related content we haven't gotten to, but we will pivot at some point to a new format in which we will force each other to watch stuff that the other wouldn't have watched otherwise. So if I know Chris, my diet of cheesy 80s action movies is about to get very dense, while Chris is about to be subjected to things like the Brady Bunch Variety Hour, Absolutely Fabulous, Pee-wee's Playhouse, that Cher TV special where she played so every lucky role in West Side Story. And of course, Lucille Ball's star turn in MAME.
MAME.
But we're going to keep going. We're going to keep plugging away. Degree Absolute. Find it wheresoever you find your podcasts.
All right. Well, I'm going to hold you to it, Glenn. Thank you very much for that resolution. Stephen Thompson, I want to hear your resolution from 2021.
One resolution that I really am going to try to carry off in 2020 is create more and better ways to listen to music at home. One thing that was hugely disrupted for me in 2020 was my ability to just like sit down and just take in an enormous amount of new music, which is a big, big part of my job as a person who works for NPR Music. Well, the biggest way that I listened to music in the before times was in my car and going from place to place, and I would listen to new albums and sample new artists. And I didn't have that kind of built-in mechanism for listening to new music. So in 2021, I will be setting up more turntables. I will be setting up more speakers. I will be setting up more ways to randomly and ambiently have music on around the house that do not involve setting up any one of those godforsaken Amazon SpyBot machines that I reject on principle. But I will create a more musically fertile environment around the house I intend to rarely leave.
How'd it go?
Not bad at all. I have to applaud my past self. A, for realizing that I was probably not going to leave the house very much in 2021.
Your pessimism has served you well in these end of year episodes.
My pessimism served me very, very well at the end of 2020 when we recorded that.
You have learned much, young Padawan.
I did acquire a large Bluetooth speaker that I'm very, very fond of. I did set up a turntable in my living room, although not a very good one. I'd like to kind of upgrade my turntable game and get more speakers around the house. But I did do that in part with that prediction in mind, and in part because I didn't have an adequate way to really enjoy and experience music around the house as much as you might think that I would. So in general, I give myself a solid B on that front. And in the spirit of going easy on myself, in the spirit of realizing that I'm probably not going to get out to see as much live entertainment as I really want to, I do have a resolution in a somewhat similar vein for 2022. I've talked on this show in the pretty distant past about how much I am not a big book reader and that I want to get in the habit of reading books specifically for enjoyment. And I also am always looking for ways to experience entertainment more with my family. And so what I'm going to do in 2022, I'm giving myself a metric. I'm going easy on myself. I'm going to say that I am going to read 5 books alongside my partner, Katie. We are going to try to get into the habit of reading books side by side, not her reading a book and me playing Pokemon Go, not her reading a book and me deleting emails, not her reading a book and me waiting for her to turn out the light, but us side by side reading books. She just went to the library and checked out a book by a promising writer by the name of Zakiya Harris, aka sister of Aisha. And I looked at her little stash from the library and thought, you know what? I'd read that book. So I am going to get not back into the habit, because I have never been in the habit, maybe when I was a kid with like Encyclopedia Brown books or whatever, but I'm going to really try my very, very best to get into the habit of always have a book on hand that she and I read in the same room as each other.
I think that's amazing, Stephen. I am incredibly proud of you for your resolutions. Aisha, we are moving on to you. We are going to listen to your resolution made a year ago at this time.
I miss what I used to be when I was younger, which was the type of person, the type of sort of pop culture nerd who would get really obsessive about a specific thing or person or movie or director. I would go down lots of rabbit holes of Gene Kelly. I'm going to watch all of Gene Kelly's movies, or I'm going to watch every Disney animated feature ever created and learn about them. So my resolution is that throughout the year, I want to do a deep dive into 6 different performers, whether they are actors or choreographers, dancers, or anything sort of arts related, but performers if I was going to go through this with, say, Screen Actors, I would do, let's see, 2 months for one specific actor. I'd watch at minimum 5 of their films, and then I'd read the reviews that came out around those films and also try to find any, like, definitive literature about them as a performer. And that'll be kind of my homework. And I'll do 2 months for each person of these 6. So that should take me through the whole year.
I loved this resolution so much. How did it go?
So did I. And it did not pan out at all. I was being super ambitious. I was being like high school me, where I was like, let me prep for these SATs and kill them. That did not happen.
The outline with all the colored pens.
That was a year one at Pop Culture Happy Hour kind of prediction.
rookie mistake. So I started to do this, and I started actually with Alfrey Woodard. Oh. She was a performer that I have always admired, but realized I had a lot of I had barely any knowledge of her earlier career. And so I did watch her 3-episode arc on Hill Street Blues. I also watched her Oscar-nominated performance in Cross Creek, which was one of her earlier movies in the 80s. I also watched Grand Canyon, a weird movie about race starring Danny Glover and Steve Martin, I think, is in it too. Like, so I watched a handful of stuff, and
I made a great weekend.
I did it over like a few weeks, and I also did read some reviews, contemporary reviews, the ones that I could find. I read a few profiles of her early in her career. I took notes. I have notes. They are in my app. And then this little thing happened where I sold a book, humble brag. And so that has been taking up all of my time when I'm not procrastinating and when I'm not doing the show. And so I didn't have time to do anymore.
It sounds to me like you did an awesome job diving into this, and you were totally going to do it.
Made
the mistake of selling a book.
Yeah, how dare you?
Yes, yes. So actually, I did wind up going down rabbit holes unintentionally for these other projects. And so, like, in a way, I did them and caught up with a couple of other performers and artists, but it wasn't as organized as I wanted it to be.
I give you a B+, because I think you did as much of it as you could have asked yourself to do, given the circumstances.
Yeah.
Definitely. Agree.
I'm willing to take that B+. I'm not going to beat myself up too much about it.
Great job, though. And good resolution.
Thank you.
All right. So tell me your resolution for 2022.
So the first is to buy fewer Criterion Blu-rays, because my bank account can't handle it anymore. Those flash sales get me every time. And my other one is to play more. Once I am actually done writing this book and I have a little bit more free time, I want to play more video games and I want to do more puzzles. I used to love, I was really into puzzles. And then weirdly enough, I stopped doing them once the pandemic hit. I don't know why, because you would think that when the pandemic hits, that's everyone was puzzling. And I was like, I've done that. I want to get back into puzzling. I even bought puzzles thinking I was going to do them and then haven't. I want to do that. And I also want to get back into playing more board games. My partner and I are huge board game people. And we have, I don't know, 20, 25 board games that are collecting dust right now because we just haven't felt the motivation. And so I miss that. I want more play time, like away from screens. I'm video games are a screen. But overall, just not work-related playtime. So that's my resolution.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Aisha. I support your resolution for this year and congratulate you on your resolution from last year.
You.
That brings me to my own. Oh, boy. Let's hear it. My resolution for 2021, you know, as Stephen mentioned, I have tried really hard to kind of, you know, recommend to other people and practice for myself being reasonable with yourself about your expectations. And I decided I would just go back to a very bedrock, very simple and doable resolution, which is I want to read 50 books. And a lot of people read 50 books. A lot of people read way more than 50 books. I think our producer, Jessica Reedy, reads like 150 books. But I want to read 50 books. I want to try to keep track of them. And I think that's doable. I think it's going to be good for me. I think it is a way to keep kind of expanding my mind a little bit and looking for new things. So that is the resolution, 50 books, very simple.
I like that I said five. It was like, whoa. I noticed that. Listen, guys.
Well, so here's the thing. I did not hit 50. The year's not quite over as we talk about this. I think I'm going to hit 40, which is a much better performance on this like resolution than I have done in the past. Uh-huh. I also did keep track of them, so I do actually know what the books were. And I will say I challenged myself with books that I found intimidating or that were not exactly the kind of book I think of myself as liking. So despite the fact that I did not read my 50 books, I'm pretty pleased with how this resolution played out in my actual life, even though I didn't quite make it.
You also wrote one, man. This was a- Come on. That's
true. I think that counts for 10 books easy.
You wrote an entire book.
Yeah, that's true. I did.
I don't know what the ratio is in terms of time spent between how many books you have to read before you make up how much time it takes to write one.
And one of the things, too, is that sometimes I don't read fiction while I'm writing fiction because it's too easy to get sucked into like the, well, this is a good book and I can't write this well. So I'm going to quit. It can be very like imposing to read other people's fiction while I'm trying to write fiction. So yes, that is the other reason. But more important than the accomplishment is that I got a lot of pleasure this year out of reading.
Right. And that's the point. The number isn't what counts here. The kind of reading you're doing and what you're getting out of the reading is what counts. So A+. Yeah.
98. I give myself a A- probably. But in terms of my 2022 resolution, I'm going to re-up my 2021 resolution and try to read 50 more books. That is still something that I aspire to. Maybe I can beat my 2021 total in 2022. But yeah, 50 more books, that's A. I will have my own book coming out, but I probably will not be expecting myself to write one this year. My book is called Blank Solo. It comes out in June. But my other one I want is I want to watch 20 movies that I've never seen before that came out before I was born.
Nice.
Because I have some holes in my cinema history knowledge. Nothing has brought that to my attention, like hanging out and talking to Aisha, who knows way more film history than I do.
If you want some recs, let me know.
Absolutely. 20 movies I've never seen before that came out before I was born. We'll see how I do. Well, we would love to know what your resolutions are for the new year. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. When we come back, we are going to talk about a little thing called What is Making Us Happy This Week.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc. Teladoc makes it easy to see a doctor right from your phone with 24/7 access to board-certified doctors. And where authorized, Teladoc doctors can call in a prescription to fill at your local pharmacy. Teladoc is available through most insurance plans, and if you're not covered, you can still have access to Teladoc. Download the app or visit teladoc.com/NPR.
All right, it is time for our favorite segment of this week, and let's face it, every week. What's making us happy this week? Glenn Weldon, hit me. What's making you happy this week?
I will avenge you, father. I will save you, mother. I will kill you, Fjolnir. The trailer for Robert Eggers' film The Northman recently dropped. I am officially in the tank for all things Robert Eggers. I love The Witch. I wanted to live inside The Lighthouse. And this movie is Vikings. And it comes at just the right time because I spent most of this year grinding through Assassin's Creed Valhalla and God of War. And I was missing longboats and throwing axes and berserking. I don't know what you call this genre, the Viking genre, but if nobody has come up with raids and braids yet, then TM me. TM. It stars Alexander Skarsgård, Nicole Kidman, Anya Taylor-Joy, Ethan Hawke, Willem Dafoe, and somehow inevitably, Bjork. I think Bjork plays a witch and maybe also a Valkyrie. And that's important to me because it's not just battle, you know, pillage. It's also magic and gods and crap. And that's how it hooks me. It looks fantastic. It comes out in April. I'm here for it. That is the trailer for Robert Eggers' The Northman.
Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon, for telling me what is making you happy this week. That's right. Stephen Thompson, what is making you happy this week?
Well, one of my little pop cultural side projects in 2021 was starting to put together a series of mixed CDs for my daughter, Grace, who is a big fan of the heavy sounds of, I would say, 1989 to 2005. Everything from your Guns N' Roses through to your Korns and your Linkin Park. She actually expressed to me an interest in my recommendations, which is something really neither of my kids has ever done. And so I put together for my daughter Grace a, if I do say so myself, pretty fantastic mix that I called Grace Against the Machine. A mix that includes, of course, the aforementioned Rage Against the Machine, as well as your Hole and the Beastie Boys and Public Enemy and Ned's Atomic Dustbin and Helmet and PJ Harvey. But it's been tricky for me to recommend to her newer artists. But there is a band now that I can recommend to her from Baltimore. They are called Turnstile. Let's hear a little bit of Turnstile's song Holiday. So Turnstile is a hardcore band, but Turnstile is also a dance band. Somehow Turnstile finds ways to make heavy music fun. As such, their album Glow On has been a real source of joy in 2021. So one is Grace Against the Machine, this mix on Spotify, which we will share a link to in the newsletter. And the other is the album Glow On by the band Turnstile.
All right. Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. Aisha Harris, what is making you happy this week?
Katsev, can you hit him?
A plastic water bottle and a paper towel.
Why am I listening to Elmo? Why?
Because he might have redeemed himself with this random moment that someone posted on Twitter. A Twitter user named Grim Girlfriend posted this shortcut of Elmo saying a plastic water bottle and a paper towel roll.
And it's, oh yeah, I heard it.
And I have listened to this at least a dozen times and I crack up every time. It's like giving me so much joy. And right now, if you can't see me, but my eyes are watering because it's just so funny the way he says water and bottle and paper towel roll.
What is this?
Exactly. Thank you, Linda.
So for context, it is from last year, from 2020, starring Hailee Steinfeld. And they're singing a song called I Wonder, What If? Let's Try. And it's all about them trying to find alternative options for doing things. And so Elmo, who's portrayed here by Ryan Dillon, they're trying to make the structure higher. And so they just have a plastic water bottle and a paper towel roll and they make it higher. It's just so ridiculous. But it's all about the way that he says it. And then all the comments underneath this Twitter post are just hilarious. It's just, it brings me so much joy. And I have strong feelings about Elmo otherwise, but
sure.
Look, the way he said wada and paper, I love it.
I love
that. So yes, that's from Sesame Street.
I love this. I think this is the very heart of the What Is Making Me Happy This Week segment. Because if you could see Aisha right now over Zoom, like I can, she's literally currently wiping tears from her eyes because she's so happy about this Elmo cut.
I take what I can get these days, you know?
Yeah. We all do. So when I was talking about reading books, one of the great things about reading books is that then you get to recommend books. And I want to recommend a book that is coming out on January 4th of 2022. It is by Jessamine Chan and it's called The School for Good Mothers. This is a sort of near future speculative fiction about a woman, a mother whose name is Frida Lou, and she has a daughter. And she leaves her little daughter at her house for a couple hours by herself. Her daughter is like 2. And people find out that she left the kid at home. And this kicks her into sort of a version of child protective services or whatever that results in her being separated from her daughter and being sent to essentially this school that is like a prison to re-educate women to be good mothers. You know, they kind of explore what kinds of women are most likely to find themselves in this situation. It's clear that it's not equal. There's no equity either between women or as between mothers and fathers. So I really do recommend this book. It sounds dark and weird, and it is kind of dark and weird, but I found it really, really absorbing. Again, it's called The School for Good Mothers by Jessamine Chan. It's one of the books I read this year, and it is what is making me happy this week. And that brings us to the end of our show. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find me at Linda Holmes. You can find Stephen at I Dislike Stephen. You can find Glenn at GH Weldon. Aisha is at Crafting My Style. You can find our editor, Jessica Reedy, at Jessica_Reedy. And our producer, Candace Lim, at The Candace Lim. Our producer, Ramel Wood, is at Blurgosphere. And you can find our producer, Mike Katziff, at Mike Katziff, KATZIF. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides the music you're bobbing your head to right now. Thanks to all of you for being here to wrap up the year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. We will see you all next week.